Anthony LaFalce has been an adjunct at American University for 8 years. He's taught public speaking, digital communication, and public relations. He's a principal in the Clyde Group, a Washington, D.C. public relations and public affairs firm. The company works close with CropLife America, a national trade association that represents the manufacturers, formulators, and distributors of pesticides, which protect crops of damaging diseases and insect pressure. He says there's roughly 2,966 environmental organizations registered in the state of California.
With revenue between $2 billion and have assets of $6 billion. Now, all of these are not anti-pesticides or anti-applicator environmental groups. A large percentage of them are. But that being said, when you think about groups simply dedicated to changing the way that you do your job, this is a very, very large group. And something I want to say, and I always try to preface this, is environmental groups are not the enemy. This idea that we're going to get into an argument and create voice where we argue back and forth with environmental groups, it's not the right mentality. At the end of the day, they want to do the same thing that you want to do. They want to protect the land. They want to protect farms, forests, and animals. They just want to do it in a different way. And when you think about having assets in the $6 billion range, just in the state of California, that is a large group to be going up against, right? $6 billion is a huge number. Now, when we think about some of these groups, right there, located in the lovely state of California, is PANA. So the Pesticide Action Network, founded in the state of California. They're one of my favorite anti-pesticide groups out there, and they are in your backyard. They are part of that $6 billion lobbying in the state of California to make sure that their voice gets heard versus having your voice get heard. So when we think about pesticides, we think about applications, we think about the right to work, these are the groups who are putting their voice out there, and they have a massive number of volunteers and always, $6 billion in assets, right? They are not underfunded. They are not scrappy little groups. These are highly organized, organized groups that have an agenda and will work very hard to push their agenda forward.
And LaFalce keeps his eye on search words on the internet to determine what things we need to do about.
So when I think about what groups like PANA are doing, when I think about other those 3,000 groups out there in the world or in the state of California, when I look at California Conversation and I look at California Ban, so anytime somebody goes to the internet wondering what the state of California has banned, versus saving farms, right? Again, these were broader terms where I had a bunch of different search queries in there. At the end of the day, no one's really talking about saving farms. No one's talking about saving agriculture, but they are talking about what California bans. So you're working in an environment, and I'm sure all of you know this, you're working in an environment with thousands of groups working against you with billions of dollars every single day trying to push their agenda forward. And that's where you come in. That's where you've got the chance to come out with a fight, a chance to come out and get your message forward. Now, I know many of you are aware of this that happened at the beginning of the year, where the cap and trade bill was coming out to sort of curb greenhouse gases in the state of Oregon. At the end of the day, it would have essentially put the timber industry out of business. There would have been no way any of these groups could have complied with cap and trade, greenhouse gas emissions, and all of that. And in the state of Oregon, a state that I work in very frequently, it was basically thought that there was no way to stop this. That being said, a group came up, Timber Unity, which was led by a bunch of different folks who work in the timber space. They shut down the state house. They paused the legislature. They had a very active voice in the assembly. The Republican groups actually left the state house during all of this. But I'm not talking about their tactics. I'm not talking about what they did or, you know, sort of any of the personal feelings you might have about how they went about stopping the cap and trade bill from going forward. I'm talking about this idea that they didn't give up. Everyone told the timber industry there was no way that they were stopping the legislator and Kate Brown and Governor Kate Brown from getting this bill pushed through. And they didn't stand for it. They actually said that they were going to go out and try to stop it. And they did. And again, not talking about methods, not talking about anything like that, talking about the idea that your voice can still matter. You can still go out and affect change, even if you think it's too late. So while this is one example, I think in the next few months, both on the state and in the federal level, we're going to be seeing a lot more challenges. And you might think to yourself, you know, there's no way that I can win this. There's no way that we can fight the legislator in the state of California. There's no way we can do X, Y, and Z. It's simply not true. You are mighty. There are so many of you in the state of California alone who can lend their voice to this discussion, which at the end of the day can change outcomes. So what do we need to do? We need to create social content. Going back to how people were searching the internet and what they were looking for, the end of the day, you creating a voice out there, posting things to a website, posting information on your social channels, all of that matters. You have to actually go into your local communities and start talking to them again, letting them know that we're part of the community, that we want to protect the land just as much as an environmentalist group, right? You want to create buzz in the press, right? If people do not hear from you, if they do not hear why applicators actually do care about the environment, why we work every single day to make sure IPM is the most important sort of tools that we have, it's not going to work, right? We need to get out there in front of the press. And then we need to talk to policy influencers. You need to actually get out there and work with your association, your advocacy groups, to make sure you're getting in front of the right people, to make sure you still have the right to operate.
Again, that's Anthony LaFalce. He's a principal in the Clyde Group, a Washington, D.C. public relations and public affairs firm, and he works closely with CropLife America. You're listening to CaliforniaAgNews.com.